In our gospel this morning, we continue through the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6. This is a passage of scripture that every Catholic should know, because if anyone's ever curious as to why we believe what we do about the Eucharist, just send them right to John 6. And it's a great thing for us to just read and meditate on once in a while. But in today's gospel, we hear that the Jews are murmuring and they're complaining about what our Lord is saying. They're saying, you know, how can he give us his flesh to eat? You know, who is he to say that he's come down from heaven? And, you know, our Lord doesn't back off his teaching on the Eucharist. He doesn't say, oh, I'm just speaking in spiritual analogies or giving a spiritual lesson here. He intensifies his language. And the more they complain, the more clear he is. And in today's gospel, he says explicitly, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. You can't get more clear than that. But many people denied his words. They were too much for them to accept. And so they walked away. Just like today, many people do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that the bread and wine truly becomes the body and blood of Christ. And many of them leave the church as a result. But I think the lesson we can learn from this is whenever we approach the Eucharist, first and foremost, we have to do so with an attitude of faith. You know, this is not ordinary bread, what our senses perceive. You know, just like in the gospel, you know, when Jesus Christ says, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. You know, the Jews are like, who is this guy? We know who your mother is. We know who your father is. Mary's your mother. Joseph's your mother. You're not descended from heaven. You didn't come down from heaven. Because they didn't realize that there is a spiritual reality that they couldn't perceive. All they focused on was what they could see with their senses. And they didn't understand that the one standing in front of them was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and that he was born of a virgin. And this is the second person of the Trinity who came into the world. They didn't understand that and their senses couldn't perceive it. There's a spiritual reality there beyond what their senses could perceive. And so too with the Eucharist, our senses perceive the bread and wine. That's all our senses see. But our faith is what supplies the fact that we know there's something more to it. That it's not ordinary bread. That if a priest who's ordained a priest legitimately in a direct line from Jesus Christ says the words of consecration, that it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And how do we know that that's the case? Because Jesus Christ is God and his words are true. And his words have the power to bring about what they say. His word brought the entire universe into existence. And when he said, this is my body, it becomes his body. And when a priest speaks those words, it's Christ who speaks those words. And what he says comes to be. I want to focus today a little bit on some of the different effects of receiving communion. And there's many spiritual benefits that we could go through, but I just want to focus on three today. The first one is zeal for heavenly things. When we receive the Eucharist worthily in a state of grace, it can increase our zeal for heavenly things. It's so easy for us to lose sight of what our true goal is. When we get wrapped up in our day-to-day responsibilities, it's very easy for us to fall into long periods of time where we don't pray. Or we don't pray very much, or we just rattle off the prayers real quickly and get on to something else. And we lose focus of, you know, that prayer is what brings union with God and that this should be central. It's so easy for us to get sidetracked or to let other things take over our mind, other things that we're worrying about, you know, whether it's our business or something going on at work that begins to consume our minds or our schoolwork or, you know, what the next TV show is going to be. You know, we let these things consume our thoughts and we can very easily fall into periods of time where we're thinking about all these other things and we're not thinking about our salvation at all or very little. You know, it's a shame sometimes how much time people will spend in front of the TV compared to how much time they spend in the presence of the Eucharist. You know, a lot of times people end up indulging in their own desires. They want to be comfortable. They want good food. They want all that stuff, but they don't focus on penance and moderation, which we need for spiritual growth. And imagine for someone who never goes to Mass, or if they only come to Mass rarely instead of coming every Sunday, how easily they can become sidetracked and all these other things can take over in their mind rather than what's truly important. But the act of coming to Mass requires us to put the Eucharist and to put our relationship with God as being central. You know, it's an act that says we believe that Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him is important and we need to nurture it. And so coming to Mass opens up our hearts to a deeper union with Christ. And then if you combine that with the grace of the sacrament, because God's grace does not work in vain. God's grace is powerful and it's effective. And when we come to Mass with that attitude and the grace that we receive from the Eucharist, we allow that to permeate within us. What we'll find is over time, especially when we're spending a lot of time in the presence of the Eucharist, Eucharistic adoration, coming to Mass, daily Mass, even if we can, we'll find that our desire for earthly things begins to fade. Suddenly that TV show isn't that important. Suddenly the small details of business aren't that important. And we'll begin to focus more and more and be more and more enriched by our relationship with our Lord. And so, over time, the Eucharist will build a greater zeal, and it'll create within our hearts and inflame our hearts a desire for greater holiness, greater union with Christ. The second effect of the Eucharist, if we look at the first reading, we have the prophet Elijah. Queen Jezebel has ordered his death. He's the only surviving prophet who's faithful to God. He's fleeing for his life. The army's going after him. He's discouraged. He's at the end of his strength. He's going through a desert. And he said, Lord, it's enough. He finds a broom tree and he prays for death. And he curls up under this tree to die. He's at the end of his strength. And then an angel appears and wakes him up. And there's a hearth cake and some water and says, eat. And that happens twice. And he gets the strength to walk 40 days and 40 nights through the desert. If he got that strength from eating a hearth cake that an angel brought to him, how much greater is the strength that's available to us by receiving bread from heaven, the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Our lives in this lifetime are a desert. To be faithful to Christ and to persevere, there's going to be struggles. It's not easy. You know, there's going to be temptation. And sometimes we're just going to want to throw in the towel and say, I cannot overcome this sin in my life. I've been struggling with this sin for years. I'm just giving up. It's so easy for us to give up on people and say, this relationship is broken. I've tried so hard. I'm done. I can't forgive this person. I can't let this go. You know, it's so easy for us when we face the struggles in our lives to become discouraged and just to give up. But the Eucharist helps to enliven us, and our Lord gives us the grace that we need to persevere through the desert. He gives us the strength that we need to persevere in our faith, to overcome temptation, to overcome discouragement, and to persevere in serving the Lord and what He's calling us to do. All of us have struggles and crosses in our lives, and the Eucharist is what gives us the strength that we need to persevere through the desert. The third thing we can learn about the Eucharist, if we also look again at the first reading, is where did Elijah go after he walked 40 days and 40 nights through the desert? He went and ascended the mountain of God, Horeb, where God revealed himself to him. You know, all this is foreshadowing the Eucharist. The Eucharist not only gives us the strength to walk through the desert, but there's effects of the Eucharist that we will not experience in this life, but we will not experience them until we pass through death. But the Eucharist, the bread from heaven, gives us the strength and invigorates our soul so that when we pass through the desert of this life and we enter through death, it gives us the strength to ascend the true mountain of God and to be raised up in glory into the new Jerusalem, where our Lord has prepared a place for us. There are effects of the Eucharist that we will not experience until we leave this world. But the Eucharist gives us the nourishment that we need to ascend into glory in the next life to the new Jerusalem. Which is why Jesus Christ says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. And so as we reflect upon these readings today about the Eucharist, I encourage us first to affirm our faith. Every time we come to Mass, affirm our faith in the reality of the Eucharist and what our Lord says, the Eucharist, that it's truly his body and blood. And we pray that the grace of the Eucharist will increase our longing for heavenly things as we become detached from the pleasures of this world, that it'll bring us deeper union with Christ. We pray that it will give us the strength to persevere through the desert. And when we pass from this life, that it will be the food that sustains us so that we might one day ascend to the mountain of God.